Good morning. Thank you, Carol. Welcome to Our Savior Lutheran Church. 18th Sunday after Pentecost service. My name is Brad. I will be assisting Pastor Charlie today. If you're listening to us on radio, thank you. You're listening to us on WPHM 1380. You can also catch our podcast anytime at WPHM.net. Also, you can go to our newly revamped website, OurSaviorLutheran.com, and that's Savior with a U. We would like to thank our longtime anonymous donor. And one of our sound technicians. Are you picking me up? Testing. I think I'll be getting a rescue mic here in a moment. Think it's me. That figures. Can you hear me now? Nope. Testing. Nope. Perhaps we can just get a cordless back here. Great, thank you. So this is where we kill a little bit of time. Anybody know any good jokes? Just keep going. We can always talk about the wonderful weather we've had the last couple days, the last two weekends in a row. Absolutely gorgeous. Thank you, Doug. Can you hear me now? Hello? A2. Again, for those of you listening on radio, we apologize. We're having some technical difficulties, and there we go. I think we just picked this in. Yep. All right. Welcome. I'm going to try to get through this introduction very quick. My name is Brad. I will be assisting Pastor Charlie Martin in today's service. We thank everybody for being here. Those of you who are worshiping over radio, thank you very much. And our introduction. Jesus' parable about two sons who don't do what they say reveals surprises in the reign of God. In the reading from Ezekiel, the people claim the ways of the Lord are unfair, while God offers repentance and new life. Paul urges us to look into Christ as a model of humility, putting the interest of others above our own. Nourished by the broken bread and the shared cup, we offer our lives for the sake of our needy world. The archangel Michael is pictured as a prince and a general of the heavenly army, defeating the dragon, aka the serpent, the devil, or Satan. It is important, though, to see in Revelation 12, that God's victory ultimately comes by Jesus' death and resurrection and the testimony of his followers. The power of God's truth gives us confidence in the face of evil on earth, even in the face of our own death. And our gathering hymn, God is here. Thank you.
Please rise as you are able. Blessed be God, the one who forms us, Jesus, who bears the cross, the Spirit who makes our joy complete. Amen. Let us bow before God in humility, confessing our sin. Steadfast and faithful God, you have revealed the ways of justice, yet we fail to follow you. We are overwhelmed by the world's violence and suffering. We are afraid to risk what we have for the sake of others, for the harm we have caused, known and unknown. Forgive us for the unjust demands we place on others and your creation. Forgive us for the ways we turn away from you and our neighbor. Forgive us. Lead us back to you and set us on the right path. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Beloved in Christ, God's justice stretches beyond all understanding. God's compassion is beyond compare. In Jesus, God is always making a new way for us. In Christ, you are already and always forgiven. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Let us pray. God of love, giver of life, you know our frailties and failings. Give us your grace to overcome them. Keep us from those things that harm us, and guide us in the way of salvation. Everlasting God, you have wonderfully established the ministries of angels and mortals. Mercifully grant that as Michael and the angels contend against the cosmic forces of evil, so by your direction they may help and defend us here on earth through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, whom we worship and praise with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
Ezekiel challenges. Testing. 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 Ezekiel challenges those who think they cannot change because of what their parents were and did, or who think they cannot reverse their own previous behavior. God instantly, insistently invites people to turn and live. First reading begins with Ezekiel chapter 18, selected verses. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Know that all lives are mine. The life of the parent as well as the life of the child is mine. It is only the person who sins that shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is unfair. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is my way unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? When the righteous turn away from their righteousness and commit iniquity, they shall die for it. For the iniquity that they have committed, they shall die. Again, when the wicked turn away from the wickedness they have committed and do what is lawful and right, they shall save their life, because they considered and turned away from all the transgressions that they had committed. They shall surely live. They shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is unfair. O house of Israel, are my ways unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, all of you according to your ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions. Otherwise iniquity will be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed against me, and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. Turn then and live. This is the word of the Lord. Today's psalm is Psalm 103, with the refrain being, Bless the Lord, you angels, and all you hosts of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is went within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits.
Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's.
Bless the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who do God's bidding, who obey the voice of God's word. Bless the Lord, you angels, all you hosts of God.
Bless the Lord, all you hosts of God, you servants who do God's will.
Bless the Lord, all you works of God, in all places where God rules. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord,
angels, all you hosts of heaven.
In our hymn of praise, This is the Feast. And now for our second reading. First second reading, I apologize. Armed with the power of God, Michael and the angels of God, fight those armed with the power of evil, the devil and the devil's angels. The blood of the Lamb, our crucified Lord Jesus, gives Michael the power to force the devil from a place in heaven. Our second reading begins with Revelations chapter 12. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven proclaiming, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of the comrades has been thrown down, who accused them day and night before our God. But they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they did not cling to life even in the face of death. Rejoice then, you heavens, and all who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you with great wrath, because he knows his time is short." This is the word of the Lord. Okay, and here is our second reading. Some people might want to call it the third reading, but our pastor calls it the second reading. So here we go. In your life together, think the way Christ Jesus thought. He was like God in every way, but he did not think that his being equal with God was something to use for his own benefit. Instead, he gave up everything, even his place with God. He accepted the role of a servant, appearing in human form. During his life as a man, he humbled himself by being fully obedient to God, even when that caused his death on a cross. So God raised him up to the most important place and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. God did this so that every person will bow down to honor the name of Jesus. Everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will bow. They will all confess Jesus Christ is Lord, and this will bring glory to God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Abel, please join with me in the gospel acclamation. Alleluia. Bless the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who do God's bidding. Alleluia. Our gospel today is from St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he'll say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." Then he said, "What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. So I got to be honest, I was really conflicted because there was just so much to work with today. And I really wanted to pay some homage to angels with our liturgical day of Michael and All Angels this past Friday. I just love angels. And the thought of them around us and watching over us and helping us. This is even if, to be honest, I have not always personally stayed strictly on a good theological footing with the way I approach them myself. But then again, we hear this gospel piece that we just heard, and it's one that really reveals a lot to us, not only about the state of religion at Jesus' time, but also about ourselves. I promise I'm not going to make this a 3-hour sermon by putting all this together. I could probably have done that. And if I lose any of you as I connect all this together, see me after the service so I can put that right. First, I wanted to share with you a few words that I pulled from an article about angels published on April 21st, 2022 by J. Brian Tucker and David Finkbeiner. I'd like to give people their due. And this is a really fairly good theological background for us all to consider when we think about angels. Angels. Everyone loves angels. They fly around protecting people in danger, and they're warm and fuzzy, and they're helping people feel loved. Actually, our familiarity with angels is one of our challenges. It's hard to separate what popular culture tells us about them and what Scripture reveals to us. Angels are created spiritual beings who do not have physical bodies but are able to make judgments and possess intelligence. Ultimately, angels are subservient to Christ. They are referred to as his mighty angels. That can give us confidence as we wonder about our possible engagement with them. And then we have popular culture, which delivers its own theology of angelness. Here's a few details to consider. The next time you watch a movie or a TV show with angels as a part of the storyline, there is no explicit reference confirming that angels as a whole, there are some, are winged. This also then suggests that stories like Clarence's in It's a Wonderful Life and the proverbial "When a bell rings, an angel gets its wings," while it's enjoyable to watch, isn't really supported very well scripturally. While the scriptural support for personal guardian angels is lacking, there is strong scriptural witness in relation to their ministry in general. There's no definitive reference in regard to the belief that at birth, each person is given a personal guardian angel that serves as their protector as they live. I would often have said that if I have one, it has often been very overworked. What becomes obvious is that the vast array of movies and TV shows and books and video games even do not provide much trustworthy information on the biblical purpose of angels and how we should relate to them. Let's address those two thoughts: angels' purpose and our relationship with them. There are overall purposes for angels. First, they were created to glorify God. Praise God, all his angels. Praise God, all his hosts. Second, their purpose is to serve God. For by God all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through God and for God. Third, they are designed to learn God's wisdom and grace, so that the multifaceted wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities. Fourth, they are tasked with reflecting God's attributes. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of God's glory." Finally, in relationship with us, their purpose is to minister to God's elect. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to provide service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? So if these are their purposes, how are we to relate to angels in a practical way? First, we really are not to venerate angels. Second, we should always beware of some fallen angels. Third, we ought to respect their service to God. Fourth, we should entertain strangers in a spirit of hospitality, for perhaps they may be angels. Finally, we should be mindful that angels actually observe us. So with all that in mind, and considering that there could be angels right here with us, helping us this day in our worship with God, let's see how that can relate and tie in with our gospel passage for today. Jesus is really struggling to get his message across to the religious authorities in his time. They really are more tied to their comfy relationship with the ruling Romans. Obviously, if they're refusing to listen to Jesus, they're not paying attention to any guidance from the Holy Spirit or any angels either. The ultimate desire of those ruling Romans is to simply keep the peace in the occupied cities like Jerusalem. As we all probably know, they keep the peace the hard way, with a sword. They have tasked these religious authorities to make this happen, or else they will pay dearly for any problems that arise. These religious authorities really then put themselves in a bind when they then ask Jesus for the authority with which he is teaching. Now, Jesus is not teaching contrary to any of the Hebrew scriptures, but providing an interpretation of them. As a result, these leaders have to make a choice in responding to Jesus, giving John heavenly authority, which infers the same then for Jesus. We have that similar choice to make for our lives, whether we give Jesus authority over what we do. Those religious authorities are people of God, supposedly, but they're not living in the ways of God. They say one thing, but then they do another. There are many in our own time that we can see this same situation with, that they claim to be people of God, but they don't really show it in their actions. They don't care about anyone but themselves, really, and they don't seek to help those who are marginalized. Often, these same people do not even live in any of the words they say, irrespective of whether it even relates to God. They just say what will make them popular and then don't worry about living up to their empty promises. We need to be sure that this is not how we ourselves live, that we as people of God live as God would want to observe in us. those seemingly hard verses that Brad read from Elijah really can show us how much love God has for all of us. We hear in that passage that our lives belong to God, the lives of both a parent and a child. If either fall away from God, it is their personal affront to God. Any blame does not pass from one to the other. Obviously. At the same time, the parent generation may set up the wrong way to be with God for their children and potentially could expect some punishment for that. God just wants us to live in the laws that have been given to us for our benefit in our relationship with both God and each other. God really does want good things for us, to come to us for our benefit. Jesus restates this in that gospel passage for us. As he tells the religious authorities, the preeminent sinners of that time will go to heaven far ahead of them. These sinners went seeking God's forgiveness, knowing that they had lived an ungodly life. This is like that first son in the gospel, who originally said no, but then later repented and did the work anyway. These sinners believed in God's grace, God's willingness to forgive them and take them back. This gives us all confidence that God wants all of us. And our sin cannot keep us from God as long as we confess to it and plead for forgiveness. We cannot simply say, we believe, and leave it at that. We need to demonstrate this faith in our lives. Our support that we are starting to provide for the Harbor Youth Project is one way that shows this love for God in our hearts. We don't just say, oh, we have the love of God in our hearts. We show it in our actions. This has us living in the same thoughts as Christ showed in his life, having love and compassion for all others. We are supported by God in doing all that we do with the Holy Spirit in us, the angels surrounding us, and the presence of Christ with us as we take in his meal of himself. We bless the Lord as we remember God's benefits for us, as we strive to do God's will in God's name. Amen.
Be no longer mine. Take my
Please rise as you are able. Let us pray. Remembering the caring and generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors.
We put our trust in you as we pray for the church. Give bishops, pastors, deacons, and teachers the gifts of wisdom and discernment. Be with them in bold truth and faithful witness. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Lead us in your truth as we pray for creation. Empower us to look to the interests of others as we make choices that impact the environment. Summon us to be advocates for the healthy waterways, habitats, and air. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Lead us in justice as we pray for those in the government, the military, and other positions of authority. Give them humble and willing hearts, looking to the needs of others. We pray also for our enemies. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Trusting your goodness, we pray for all caregivers and people who are sick or suffering in any way, especially this day, Lord. We pray for Scott Reed, the family of Julia Krusky with her passing, Donna Barnish, Carol Cataldo, Tanya Cleaver, Pastor Don and Cheryl Dorsbacher, Jack DeTerry, Ken Doty, Barb Downing, Barbara Gruitt, Brian Hedberg, Rob Kornfeld, Bill Croner, Ken Majeski, Pastor Charlie Martin, Cherry Moserat, Beverly and Ed O'Connor, Leon Quater, Natalie Raymond, Camille Rigney, Dave DeTerry, Carl Rich, Don Siebert, Rick Hazard, Sandy Smith, Bill Steinhaus, Robbie Sveck, Bob Turnow and family, Carol Watson, Douglas Weaver, Jim and Flo Young. Lord, we pray for institutions that help people with alcohol and substance abuse, like NA, particularly Project Return and Alcoholics Anonymous. Lord, also we pray for those who serve and protect our nation, both home and abroad, that they may return to our community safely. Lord, also we pray for those not listed on this page, but in our hearts. Give them encouragement and consolation in your presence. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Teach us your ways as we pray for this congregation. Be at work in us and unite us in your love as we labor together for the sake of the gospel. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. This day we particularly pray for those who are still dealing with the after effects of hurricanes, floods, and wildfires. We need to remember these people as they try desperately to put their lives back together. May they look to you, O Lord, for support and love and comfort. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. With thanksgiving, we remember those who have gone before us in the faith. Gather us with them around your table, around your heavenly throne, where together with Michael and all the angels, we will join in singing everlasting praise. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these in the prayers of our hearts, trusting in your compassion made known to us through Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ is with you always. You may be seated for the offering.
We thank you for the support of the Christian ministry at Our Savior Lutheran Church. I do not have a list of announcements here, but I do believe we are, Pastor, you alluded to that in the sermon, the, what is that again? Harbor Light Youth Hygiene Drive, was it?
Yes. There's lists on the back table.
So at our back table, there's a list of items that we can get and donate for this cause. So please find one on your way out. Other than that, as I said, thank you so much for supporting the ministry here at Our Savior Lutheran. God of power, God of plenty, all things belong to you. We bring your gifts to the table, that all might be fed. Form us into the body of your beloved Jesus Christ, our Savior. And for our offering him, O Savior, precious Savior.
Please rise as you are able. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, you alone are holy. You alone are God. The universe declares your praise. Beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath, we praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering, within this meal, among your people, throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit in your church, without end. Amen. And now let us pray with confidence in the words that our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus invites you to his table. Come, eat, and live. All who are baptized and believe in Christ are welcome at this table.
When I fall. mercy on me. Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together.
Please rise as you are able. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed be your name, O God, for we have feasted on your word, Christ Jesus, the joy and delight of our hearts. Strengthened by this food, send us to gather the world to your banquet, where none are left out and all are satisfied. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now may the God of glory, Jesus Christ, name above all names, and the Spirit who lives in you bless you now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the sending hymn, as we probably have a tough time being in our seats because we're on our way rejoicing.
Peace. God is at work in you.
Thanks be to God.